Hello, I'm sitting here with Professor Ronald Eads at the Louis D. Brandeis School of Law at the University of Louisville, and today we're going to talk about strict liability. Welcome, Professor Eads.
How are you today?
I'm very well. How are you?
Doing pretty good.
Excellent. I'm so glad you could join me today and our listeners to talk about strict liability.
Well, that's an interesting topic. As you know, I wrote a couple of the Cali lessons on strict liability. One deals with strict liability with animals, attacking animals, trespassing animals. And the other deals with the area of ultra-hazardous activities or abnormally dangerous, sort of arising out of that traditional landmark English case of Rylands versus Fletcher.
Okay, great. Strict liability is sometimes a difficult concept for students to master. Any tips to suggest to them for how to get a handle on this?
Yeah, I think it is difficult because students go through most of their tort studies sort of picturing torts as very much fault-based, almost a morality sort of fault-based. They learn terms like negligence and intent, and everything becomes a wrongdoer and very fault-based. If they would notice, and at some point they do, actually a good bit of that negligence was developed in the 1860s, ran through the 1960s, and it was sort of the century of negligence. But there's a lot of tort that is not fault-based, and strict liability is one of those examples. So it's very difficult for them because they have to sort of shift their thinking. And it's a way of recognizing that this area of tort law, one of the three basic parts of tort law, if you think of intent, negligence, and strict liability, this area, you have to do away with your ideas of morality and fault base. It's a policy decision. And I think the basic tip is, as you begin to study this area, don't think about someone being a wrongdoer. Instead, think about there are certain kinds of conduct that if you engage in it, regardless of whether you do it carefully or however you do it, if you engage in it and it does harm, then you'll pay for it. It's more of a policy decision that we're shifting losses from an injured person to the person who caused it.
I would think if it's policy-based that it's shifted a lot over the years.
It has, and I think that's another interesting feature of it. In fact, the two areas I've mentioned, the part dealing with animals and the part dealing with ultra-hazardous activities or the abnormally dangerous activities, some of that, the animal part, is some of the oldest law that we have in torts, the idea of a person acting at their own peril, whereas some of the newer things dealing with ultra-hazardous activities is actually some of the newest tort law we have. And as we move into areas such as toxic torts and dangerous chemicals and explosives, the area of strict liability for such things as dangerous activities is probably going to grow. So you're right. One of the interesting things about it, if you go back several hundred years, you see certain kinds of conduct being held strictly liable, whereas we look to the future for the horrible things that we might be doing to each other in the years to come, we'll see new areas of strict liability growing up.
Is there any particular one analytical framework that you can suggest for students to approach strict liability problems, or is it too narrow to try and say that there's one analytical framework?
I think you can begin with one analytical framework, and this is the reason that I actually like to encourage students to go back to the old animal cases, the idea of the trespassing animals or the attacking animals. It seems so simplistic, and it seems like it's something they won't deal with in modern law. But yet, if they can ever reach the point where they understand that a person is being held liable for injuries caused just because they happen to have an animal, then they began to understand the concept of strict liability. It's not related to fault. It has nothing to do with a wrongdoer. It's just the idea that because you engaged in certain conduct, you are being held liable. When they capture that idea, when it finally sinks in, I sometimes think it's they sort of have that eureka experience, then they suddenly can leap forward and understand products liability. They understand 402A, which is a form of strict liability. It appears much more complex than the simple animal cases, but it's basically the same conduct. Manufacturers being held liable, not because they're wrongdoers, but because they engaged in a certain kind of conduct for which we hold them liable. So I think going back to the very simple basic cases allows the student to take very simple forms of facts, get a concept or a way of understanding strict liability that they can then use to apply to the really complex areas like products liability or whatever happens in the future.
Where do you think strict liability law is going in the next 5, 10, 15 years? Care to make any predictions?
That's a good question, and I think it is only destined to grow rather than cut back. As I said, we think of negligence as sort of the universal law of torts, and if you talk to most non-lawyers, they think of negligence as the law of torts. But negligence actually reached its peak and then started to decline in the 1960s. Products liability came on the scene with strict liability. We began to move more towards compensation systems during that period with things like no-fault car insurance. In the areas where negligence is still strong, things like medical malpractice, legislatures are putting caps on it and cutting back on it. So what we're seeing is the area of negligence is actually the grand era of negligence is over. That's old law. The future is things like compensation systems, which actually are just sort of codified strict liability forms, insurance law, or new areas, again, this area of ultra-hazardous activities or abnormally dangerous activities with our greater use of toxic chemicals. Those things are only destined to grow in the future. And of course, as society continues to encroach on rural areas, people are coming into greater and greater contact with animals today, both farm animals, and of course people living in the big cities have their little puppies running around everywhere. I still have law students who 2 or 3 years after law school call me because they've got a client who was bitten by their next door neighbor's dog. So negligence, I think, is the law of the past. Strict liability is the law of the future.
Do you have any further comments or suggestions for students before we wrap this up?
Just one further comment. I do find in most of the major case books and materials, since torts cover so much, frequently it is difficult for a class to have time to work on such things as those little basic simple animal cases or the old Rylands versus Fletcher. Do a little extra reading, I think, is the tip to most students. Work through those Cali lessons. That'll give you that basic understanding that'll then help you when you get to the more complex areas like products liability.
Professor Eads, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.